In the galaxy of M41, there is only war. Yet theoretically at least, wars should end at some point. The wars of the galaxy wax and wane, and while some areas have known relative stability for the longest time, for others it's an unending grind fest that will never see an end in their lives. So the prospect of any faction actually achieving galactic domination would be a truly extraordinary feat, bordering on the impossible. Yet it remains for many the ultimate end goal, despite being something that is only even plausible to the heavy hitters of the Warhammer 40,000 galaxy. For any to achieve galactic domination or the adjacent factional equivalent end goals, it would require not only base power and an almost incomprehensibly vast military strength, but also unmatched strategic brilliance and an intrinsic understanding of the complex web of power struggles and forces at play all across the galaxy. So to achieve dominion would require not just brute force, but a masterful play of setting enemies against one another to weaken them sufficiently that they could then be destroyed and ruled out of the game. Yet for some, galactic dominion may not be as all-encompassing as we might imagine, not be so definitive. What percentage control of the existing galaxy equates to domination? 85%? 90%? 99.9%? For those such as Chaos and the Tyranids, they're likely not thinking in these terms. But from the perspective of humanity and others such as the Tau and the Eldari, if these malevolent forces were to achieve majority control of the galaxy, the effect would be much the same, regardless of how specifically they had actually achieved control. First and foremost, a major obstacle is quite simply that the galaxy itself is an unfathomably vast and dangerous place. Many thousands of star systems, many millions of habitable worlds, many of which will contain significantly powerful factions and other hazards. From the perspective of humanity, the sheer scale makes such a task near to insurmountable, because in order to subjugate all worlds, each with their own environmental obstacles, factional specific defences and available planetary or system-based resources, it's a logistical nightmare. But the Imperium of Mankind and the Emperor have already made a pretty considerable dent in full control of the galaxy, and generally speaking do likely control most territory overall. Were it not for many of the forces that are set against humanity, it may well have achieved even more. Which seems surprising on the face of it, until you consider the fact that the Tyranids were not really in play when humanity made its major gains, the Eldar had plenty to contend with, and the Necrons were not really in contention. The Orcs are always a persistent but random problem, and Chaos was again not really a major player in the scheme of things yet. But of course, all of this would change over the following 10,000 years, so that now humanity exists as but one player on the board. And while it has been significantly weakened, many of the other races have become empowered, emboldened, or continue to increase their power. For some, they have specific advantages, such as sheer weight of numbers or the attrition of time and entropy. None within the Imperium would dare to say it, but as things stand in the grand scheme, humanity's ability to control the galaxy may simply be a footnote in the full history of things. They certainly stand really on a precipice at this current time. Because for humanity, or indeed any of the other races, galactic dominion does not simply mean vanquishing enemies, but implies an ability to maintain order and stability across the galaxy in their own relative terms, and requires robust administrative and logistical capabilities if those are applicable to your civilization. Conquered worlds would need to be effectively governed, resources managed, and populations controlled, so this logistical nightmare of communication, supply lines, enforcing authority across such a sprawling dominion would be an immense challenge, as it continues to be for the Imperium. Similarly so if you are the Eldar or the Tau, but not necessarily something you might see shared among, say for example, the Orcs, the Tyranids, or Chaos itself. Because they by their nature barely require any level of stability and organisation, as is expected by the others. For Chaos, its literal name denotes no interest in such things. Dominion of the material realm would mean much the same as it does in the Warp, a galactic hellscape where the idea of control or specific territorial matters are almost irrelevant, or certainly only applicable to, say, warlords at a more local level. So this idea of once you've achieved a goal, what's next? Interestingly becomes one of the key considerations when we think of what would it mean to hold galactic dominion, and therefore is it at all possible for a specific faction? Well, for all of its shortcomings and for how much we've talked about the miserable nightmare that is the Imperium for humans on a day-to-day basis, they've actually managed to cling on to control of the galaxy for the past 10,000 years since the Emperor launched this unifying Great Crusade. And however you want to cut it, it's actually pretty impressive, it's actually something. But I think the first question when we're thinking about achieving galactic domination and who the actual contenders would be is likely, are they even close to being able to achieve such a thing militarily? Because some are very, very clearly not even in contention. What makes things even more difficult, though, are the never-ending internal threats within factions, the treachery, the political machinations, shifting alliances. So that even if a faction were able to make significant strides toward galactic domination, for those such as Chaos and the Orcs, they also create enough problems for themselves as are already posed by others. Internal power struggles, betrayal, sabotage, these things pose constant threats to their stable rule, just as they do for the Imperium, and that to me is actually quite an interesting thing, because it's in this sheer scale and unpredictability of the galaxy which largely ensures that no galactic empire can ever be truly fully secure. Throughout history, there have been more civilizations rise and fall than can even be spoken to, and in M41 these continue to play out across a galactic scale. Some have fallen in the obscured past or violently shifted and fractured, but there are a number of other major core factions that still remain contenders for control and domination of others in M41, the contemporary period for the Imperium. Now, originally, I was going to consider this at a more individual scale, and I may look at that or some form of it later, but I realised it would be more interesting to focus on thinking about who are the most powerful factions in 40k within the more specific context of what would be their end goals if they could even be achieved. Because the agendas of different groups spread all throughout the galaxy vary significantly. Some seek by their design pure annihilation and slaughter, while others have arguably more nuanced and constructive goals. In some instances, these speculative goals of a faction may not even be really achievable, not always because of literal limitations related to their power, but because despite their commitment to these agendas, they appear not necessarily in fact constructive for themselves were they even able to come to pass, which seems very applicable to Chaos, while some others like the Necron hold even more ambiguous or in no way relatable ambitions. And I think as it stands, this will likely be an ongoing series if people enjoy it, of course, because the first iteration I thought of was an overview featuring many different factions, but then I realised quickly that Chaos alone was filling out this script very quickly, and this is certainly one of the more speculative opinion pieces I've done here. But I think it's interesting to consider, because if one of the 40k factions was somehow able to be suddenly very empowered, was able to gain significant traction against its enemies, what would that look like? We've seen it before with the Orcs and the Tyranids to an extent. And even if they were able to achieve near complete domination of the galaxy, as things stand in the period of M41, would that even be a good thing for they themselves? We'll discuss it today. And as always, I hope you enjoy. If you did, please remember to drop a like on this video and subscribe to the channel. It helps significantly please our master Algo God of YouTube. And if you have a preference for who I should consider next in assessing their potential for galactic domination and potential ability to rule in the aftermath, do tell me in the comments. So let's discuss today, Chaos. Thinking about Chaos in M41 is quite a vast concept, but I think it can really be boiled down to, it has always been a serious threat, but has finally reached a point of having become a considerably extreme threat to the Imperium of Mankind and the broader galaxy. Very obviously, during and ever since the Heresy, it was always of a significant concern, as the Emperor well understood, but it also is one of the most strange and potentially untenable factions for complete galactic domination, or so one would think, depending on how you wish to look at it, but we'll get into that. Chaos has always been a very strange force in the 40k verse, existing within the warp, seemingly outside of our regular linear understanding of time. Its demonic entities are only able to penetrate the Materium, our reality, by effectively extending warp energy into our space and forming it into manifestations we see as demons. The crossover into our galaxy can take place due to rituals, arcane machinery, possessions, or horrifying acts on an industrial scale, as often seen by those traitor Astartes, such as the Night Lords and the Iron Warriors. To acquire the attention of the Dark Gods of Chaos, Khorne, Nurgle, Tzeentch, and Slaanesh, requires far more than a humble heretical prayer. The Chaos Gods in Warhammer 40,000 are often simplistically misunderstood as seeking the total destruction of humanity, And this is not necessarily the case, because although their visible impact is very horrific, destructive, and one might consider the word evil from the human perspective, their larger desires and motivations are more complex, driven by their respective domains and all the traits and tenets that they embody. As is everything in 40K, we primarily are seeing things from the human perspective, and as we just said, yes, it's true that they bring destructive forces like corruption, both literal, theological, and metaphysical, immense suffering, mass scouring, or general decimation of human worlds. But their ultimate goals in relation to humanity can vary, and overall likely do not lead to a conclusion that is the total extermination of humanity, or even all other races in the galaxy. Seeing its transformation into something that best suits them and continues to serve their needs is overall what the Chaos Gods are likely looking to achieve. The question would be, do they have the control or even the presence of mind to be able to achieve it? For it's often said that the Chaos Gods barely pay more than a momentary mote of attention to what is occurring in the mortal realm of the galaxy. They spend the majority of their focus engaged in the Great Game, the struggle that they fight among themselves endlessly in the warp. And I was considering how close I was to splitting off into a Dark Origins rant, so I must keep things nice and tight and specific today, which I will probably fail at. The overarching point, though, is that Chaos exists as a force without seemingly an overall focused leadership or even a shared goal. It's far more loose and, well, chaotic. While there are those within the forces of Chaos, such as the Despoiler, who are able to unite others under his banner, this is generally speaking really only applicable to Chaos Undivided, which in itself raises another secondary question, that being, traitor Astartes do not always fight with the overall ultimate agenda of Chaos in mind. They're more selfishly focused, and what that could mean to the stability of a domain in the aftermath of its creation is something that is really quite important. Could it endure for millennia, or would it steadily collapse soon after with internal struggles, or would these in fact be a factor that fuels and continues to preserve the power of the gods? It's a very big question mark, but one that would ultimately likely be decisive in determining the success of any Chaos domination of the galaxy. In M41, the Warmaster Abaddon's intentions themselves are relatively vague, but it's largely believed his primary and most obvious goals are to destroy the Imperium in vengeance for the heresy, and also to demonstrate that he could succeed where Horus failed. In doing this, also slaughter what remains of the Emperor and then plunge the galaxy into darkness to establish some sort of new order with himself as ruler. This would of course require the expansion and reunification of the traitor Astartes to further consolidate his power, and likely humanity would be enslaved under his rule to farm the power of the gods and bring forth a new era of hellish eternal misery for whatever qualified as the unlucky remnants of humanity. So in a sense it's actually quite straightforward, but this is the more, I guess, visible and mortal-esque goal of what qualifies as the forces of Chaos, and they're actually quite low in numbers in the grand scheme of things. It also doesn't speak to any of the Demon Primarchs and what they might have to say about someone like Abaddon leading the galaxy. One would think that they might have at least a fair amount of comment to make about such a thing. It would probably be, though, the most beneficial scenario for their Chaos Gods, if it were in fact the Despoiler who was able to take and maintain dominion of the galaxy, because it would likely ensure that humanity would continue to exist, albeit in some horrifying form. Effectively, this would see most worlds take the shape of the horrific demon worlds such as Medrengard, with the legendary Demonculaba, the humans who are bloated and then starved so their skins were like oversized flowing sackcloth robes hanging from their bodies, and just endless other examples of horrors. The Night Lords as well, with their endless flayings until floors are washed with blood, and on and on and on. It would effectively transform the galaxy into the closest rendition of an actual hell realm. And while undoubtedly there would exist systems and worlds which resisted, likely on the very periphery of the galaxy, or immense bastions or regions that were difficult to access, such as the Cronus Expanse, the majority of territory held by the Imperium now would steadily crumble, and once the forces of the Despoiler and Chaos held control, it would be very unlikely that humanity would ever have the strength or the coordination to pull themselves out of this eternal nightmare, especially if they no longer had the light, the guidance, the spiritual faith of the Emperor behind them to drive everyone forward and bring them together. But with all that said, to achieve this would be still a truly monumental task, because the War Master would have to overcome not just the immense power of the Imperium spread all across the galaxy, but also forces such as the Necron, the Tyranids, the Orcs, the Eldari, as well as other problematic small nodes of control in the galaxy such as the Tau. But admittedly, in recent times there have been considerable successes at the hands of the traitor Marines and Chaos, the fall of Cadia and the continual incursions of real space. His Black Crusades have been a series of large-scale offensives against the Imperium, aimed at undermining its power and achieving his ultimate goal of destroying it. And yes, while the Black Crusades have not led to anything near to a complete victory for Chaos, they've caused widespread devastation and resulted in the loss of countless Imperial worlds, as well as just generally weakening the Imperium's defences and stability through rising fear, disruption across the galaxy, and so on. Before going any further though, I think it would be worth to make mention of a talking point that has long stood adjacent to any kind of Chaos victory over humanity, and indeed the galaxy. That being, surely this would lead to the complete extermination and disintegration of humanity, as was believed to have been foretold by the Cabal, and therefore surely Chaos would eventually cease to exist. Well, I personally think that this would not be the case. But before I answer as to why though, some of you are likely asking, who are the Cabal? Well, the short version is that the Cabal were a disparate group of varying Xenos species who claim to have battled the forces of Chaos, who they term as the Primordial Annihilator, longer than at least the entire period of evolved humanity. Their ultimate goal was the total annihilation or pacification of Chaos that they saw would lead to complete ruination of the galaxy otherwise. They essentially meddled considerably in human affairs around the Heresy specifically, and even prior to it, having been believed to be responsible for turning the Alpha Legion. They came to strongly believe that if the War Master, Horus, was successful in defeating the Emperor and taking the throne of Terra for himself, despite the betrayal, a fragment of the respectable being Horus once was would persist within him, and that this would steadily gnaw away at him inside, eventually so severely that he would mentally break and descend upon his subjects in a secondary escalation of the betrayal, even more ferocious than the first heresy. The war and destruction that would be wrought would be so powerful as to finally culminate in an ultimate cataclysm, one that would lead to the near complete eradication of the human species within generations, and that by this time, Chaos would have become so deeply entwined within humanity that it would also be extinguished. And this is something, of course, that the Cabal thought would be a great idea. The alternative, of course, had been also foreseen by the Cabal, who had witnessed the Emperor sacrificing himself to vanquish Horus and transformed into a wailing, ethereal prisoner locked within the Golden Throne. In this scenario, they believed that after Horus was defeated, the resulting trauma of the loss of the Emperor and his lack of vision and strength would once again cause humanity to regress and collapse upon typical human traits, self-serving, power-hungry, mysticism, and so forth. And that this would ultimately result in an impotent, self-serving leadership and cultural stagnation that would inevitably lead to deterioration and finally complete collapse. They believed this would steadily allow Chaos to exert more and more power until after maybe 10 or 20 millennia of suffering, the entire galaxy would finally succumb to Chaos. So, according to the Cabal, the galaxy is absolutely screwed at this point. However, according to the Eldar Farseer Eldrad Ulthran, he believes them to be completely misguided and an unstable, dangerous force to the galaxy, announcing in fact that they had been eradicated by M32. Either way, the point is, could Chaos exist if it ever held dominion over the galaxy, or would it be in such an orgy of butchery, excess and suffering that humanity would be unable to survive in any meaningful form, and in between this and the inevitable struggles between Chaos forces themselves would culminate in an apocalyptic burnout that would see the gods of Chaos completely purged and starved of all the mortal sustenance they require. Now, of course, it's difficult to say with any certainty, but my inclination is, I think Chaos would actually endure. And in fact, so would humanity, just in a horrifyingly twisted form. Because, as I suggested earlier, despite the gods' focus on extremely destructive actions, it's well established that humanity is very capable of enduring horror, and with the quantity of human worlds and the number of civilians on Hive worlds, I think there would be a balanced struggle between gods like Slaanesh looking to spiral out of control on a galactic excess binge, and then those such as Tzeentch, Nurgle, and even the Chaos and Divided forces who would fight back against the more no-limits forces of Slaanesh and Khorne. It would certainly be a very bizarre galaxy, but I think really humanity would endure in some just very unfortunate state of existence, not in any sense of leadership or power, completely subjugated by the servants of the dark gods. And while material space would be transformed and descend into basically hell, the gods of the warp would continue to remain locked in their eternal struggle of the great game, as the conflict between the chaos gods exists both within the warp and materium, but in their attempts to achieve dominance and control over mortal space, it's often said that the manipulation of humans by chaos is so widespread, intricate and subtle that it's really beyond human comprehension, for their willpower bleeds across both realities, often involving the corruption of individuals without them even having been aware of it. So, the Chaos Gods themselves, of course, born of the emotions and the psychic energy of sentient beings. Each Chaos God embodies different aspects of the psyche and by their own nature seek to expand their influence and power. They achieve this by using their warp energy to empower their followers, grant favours to the champions, enact their own plans through the corruption of mortals. They seek to corrupt individuals, fuel vast conflicts, and harvest souls, which will increase their power and relative positions within the great game. And it's this struggle for dominance and power among the Chaos Gods that always is remaining in a constant flux. One may gain temporary ascendancy, only to be countered and challenged by another. And with the potential that no singular victor could ever truly occur, because were this ever to happen, it could cause some kind of bizarre implosion or a spiral of destruction so vast it destroys all mortals and thereby also destroying whichever god of chaos remained. Imagining something like Slaanesh being born, but times a billion. The Chaos Gods' rivalries and power shifts enable them to maintain this state of perpetual conflict, and therein allows them this enduring soul fuel to be farmed for themselves. So this has created this very strange relationship between the realm of the Immaterium and the Materium, for the Great Game's potential outcomes profoundly affects the mortal realm and vice versa. The Chaos Gods' influence through the actions of their followers have far-reaching consequences such as wars, destructive cults, corrupting planetary governments, destabilizing entire sectors of the Imperium, who of course seek to resist their influence and maintain order. But this is very much the natural order of things for Chaos, and so it's entirely believable that those things would continue to occur even if Chaos was essentially in full control of the galaxy. And especially when we consider more about some of the individual Chaos Gods and how they function. So for example, the Blood God Khorne, the Chaos God of violence, bloodshed, martial prowess. While Khorne revels in conflict and seeks to stoke fires of war, the focus of Khorne is upon the act of war itself and doesn't discriminate between species and is just as pleased by the spilling of blood from any source, be it human, alien, even of Chaos followers. So Khorne is such a pure form of Chaos worship, it's hard to imagine how it would not remain a dominant Chaos God in the eventuality that Chaos was able to somehow dominate the galaxy. The struggles between Chaos itself would continue and thereby endlessly fuel Khorne. It's the most powerful god for a reason, and very little would change if the galaxy were consumed by Chaos. So what about Nurgle, the Chaos God of decay, disease, and the cycle of life and death? Well, for Nurgle, they're probably one of the least likely gods to seek the total annihilation of all humanity. Because for while Nurgle's blessings often manifest as plagues and diseases which afflict mortals, it also savours the pleasure in that cycle of life, death, decay, rebirth. Something that could not exist if Chaos simply scoured the majority of human life from the galaxy. Also, unlike the other Chaos Gods, it could be very debatable if Nurgle could really achieve its cycle of empowering mortal forms if they were unable to exist in something approaching an ordinary state of being from their perspective. So what I'm saying is, if the entire galaxy became this hellscape of death and suffering, could Nurgle really achieve what it often seeks to through the corruption and depressing reality of plague suffering? Because people would already be suffering very, very horribly. And whilst Nurgle, of course, does seek to also relieve people from this by giving them their blessings, it's debatable whether that would have the same kind of dynamic. I think overall the answer is undoubtedly yes, as likely there still would be many worlds whereupon mortal creatures were afflicted, but it may not be as strong as corrupting a, say, completely pristine world. So I think it raises the question, would Nurgle be significantly weakened if Chaos was to hold dominion over the galaxy, and thereby would it fall in the rankings of the gods? I think it's very possible. Tzeentch is one of the most curious of Chaos Gods, representing change, ambition and manipulation, and this also manifests as sorcery or magic. Tzeentch's goals often relate to the desires for power, schemes of individuals, and the unbridled pursuit of knowledge. This often means the exploitation of humanity's desires and personal weaknesses, and less upon their immediate physical destruction. Tzeentch is more focused upon the eternal struggle and the cycle of change, the dreams, the aspirations, the lusting for power within mortals that make them very easy pawns for manipulation by Tzeentch to maintain this everlasting cycle of change. Similarly then to Nurgle, it stands to reason that Tzeentch needs to continue this even if Chaos were to dominate the galaxy, and while it undoubtedly would to an extent, it seems to my mind far more of a powerful force in the galaxy as things stand in M41 than any future Dominion of Darkness, where the power struggles within Chaos territories would surely be by degrees far less, but again, maybe not, maybe Chaos dominating the galaxy would see endless rivalries, bickering, territorial power, struggle for favours from the Chaos Gods, individual humans just struggling to stay alive by any means necessary. It could in fact empower Tzeentch. So the ultimate fate for Tzeentch in this scenario seems somewhat uncertain. They could be weakened, they could be significantly empowered. And then of course Slaanesh, the they of excess, indulgence, and the further explorations of experience, which could mean pleasure, suffering, creativity, and any or all of these combined. My view is that Slaanesh is often mischaracterized as the god of pleasure. Primarily, while it's not entirely incorrect, I always feel that pleasure is secondary to just unrestrained excesses, even leading to the terminal endpoint of those engaged within such acts or displays of uncontrolled and complete saturation of a stimuli, and the satiation of tolerance is so significant that for many it requires extreme acts to bring even the smallest amounts of satisfaction. Whilst Nurgle and Tzeentch have more of a cyclical relationship to the material realm of the mortals, Slaanesh is somewhat more comparable to Khorne in that it is this never-ending pursuit of acts which fuel it, more extreme, more linear. In Khorne's case, that's bloodletting and unrestrained carnage. For Slaanesh, it's ever more extreme experiences with theoretically no ceiling at all. Of course, there are limitations to the sensations experienced by ordinary mortals, or even those such as the Eldar, now Drakkari, as they were in the creation of Slaanesh. So in many respects, the very creation of Slaanesh was an example of its principal functionality. Once a mortal form reaches a point to which it can no longer survive the acts required to achieve the excesses of experience they seek, Slaanesh exists now to empower those individuals so that they may attain these more extreme sensory experiences and go further and further and further. So like all Chaos Gods, while Slaanesh can be destructive and corrupting, the broader aspect is an increasing or decreasing, depending on how you want to look at it, spiral of decadence, pleasure, pain, sensory experiences. That the more extreme they become, the more likely you will to receive gifts from Slaanesh to enable things to then go beyond. The only downside is that I imagine there's some sense of diminishing returns, where after every gift granted, one must exponentially increase the horror of their activities to gain future gifts, which all feels about right for Slaanesh and its followers. So, all things considered, Chaos, if it were able to take dominion over the galaxy, I think would certainly continue to exist in one form or another. The great struggle would continue, but the reality of it could be very disturbing, and the power balances may well shift significantly with diminished positions for Tzeentch and Nurgle. The big question, would it ever be achievable? For Chaos, there are various occurrences within the galaxy of M41 that could both help and hinder them to achieve total domination of the galaxy. As things stand, they have more power and opportunity to damage and scour the galaxy than ever before, with the likes of the Despoiler on the rampage, the Imperium rapidly panicking to stop the damage caused by the Great Rift, and the possibility they could lose control of almost one third of the galaxy, not to mention the exponential suffering caused by this feeding back into the powers of the warp. The return, though, of several of the Emperor's sons in both Gilliman and the Lion are not helping their cause, nor is the fact that Vulcan remains unaccounted for, but who could very well step back into things at some point, as well as other Primarchs. Then, of course, you've got Call and the Primaris and so forth, tons of new obstacles being thrown against the forces of Chaos. But it's also notable that while Abaddon has been on his endless crusades, shattering Cadia and opening, we believe, the Great Rift, this could in fact be both empowering the Emperor and humanity. In fact, it's even possible it could see some eventuality whereby the Emperor returns in some form, which could be absolutely catastrophic for Chaos and something of a huge own goal. Their biggest issue is in just what form domination would take. Would it be a united effort or more chaotic and fractured? These would be the key aspects that would likely determine success or failure in whatever shape that took. Even then, a massive gain of territory in the galaxy would be devastating for all. And I think that for Chaos, things are already looking stronger than they ever have done. But stronger doesn't necessarily mean they're going to suddenly take over the galaxy. Still though, for the greater areas of territory that Chaos is able to secure and control in the galaxy, the feedback of power will only increase. The more favour the Chaos Gods grant, the weaker it makes the Imperium. So let's consider some of the major obstacles for Chaos in taking a dominating presence across the galaxy, specifically in terms of factions. Of course, firstly, the Imperium, the greatest enemy of Chaos, and vice versa. But for Chaos anyway, the Force, which also will be significantly necessary to fuel and empower any major actions of galactic domination. I think as things stand in M41, Chaos is steadily moving towards events that could well tip over into a massive territorial gain for Chaos, and thereby endlessly empower and fuel their further war efforts. For every world and system that Chaos can control, it only makes them more powerful. For all the psykers they can kill or bring into their number as well, they're only going to feed the gods further, and the Great Rift is creating also ever more psykers, but also Chaos cults, breaches into real space, demonic incursions, and so on and so on. For Chaos, it's all about those returns. The gods never want to throw their hats into the ring unless they feel that there's a strong chance it's going to benefit them, and gaining their attention in the first place is difficult enough without massive creativity and horrifying events that will shake them into making a momentary glance to happenings in the Materium or at specific individuals. While Chaos taking territory, twisting worlds into horrifying demon planets, subjugating a populace or small steps to a larger victory, for the Imperium, all the actions of Chaos have steadily weakened it. Despite the presence of several Primarchs, Chaos continues to have the upper hand as things stand in M41, which is very troubling, and without some huge shift or immense campaign success, things are not looking particularly good for the Imperium. But it's not the end of days just yet. It may not happen in some huge firestorm either that just sweeps through the galaxy. But Chaos has been making considerable, steady gains, helped by the Great Rift and the Dark Imperium. Conversely, the Imperium has been struggling ever more with the loss of worlds, communication, warp travel, and its ability to call upon its own forces, not to mention the other threats it faces all across the galaxy, from Xenos, some of which have the potential to completely destroy the Imperium, like the Tyranids and the Necron, who gain strength with every new tomb world they liberate, for example. The biggest unknown and perhaps fundamental keystone for humanity remains the Emperor. If the Emperor is able to return due to the power of the Great Rift, or even if he's able to exert his will, perhaps through the form of the Ministerium, the Sororitas, and so on, or imagine if there was some new sub-faction of the Imperial Guard who specifically were holy soldiers who carried with them more power of the Emperor, due to his presence becoming even more powerful through the desperation of the Imperial populace, but also the increased numbers of psykers in the Rift. Now obviously Sororitas and all Imperial Guard should already very much worship the Emperor and pray to him and be empowered by him for success and power in battle. But if there was some kind of specially sanctified army unit, more than just the Ecclesiarchy's militia, but maybe a little less than the Sororitas, especially in terms of armament, who could exert more spiritual power on the battlefield, essentially a considerably watered-down human infantry version of Grey Knights, something along those lines. Maybe that would be the answer to resisting Chaos in these times. The sheer scale of the Imperium is what is most problematic for Chaos, though. It gives them breathing room also to deal with other issues and redirect forces when necessary. It allows time for unforeseen things to come to pass, like the return of the Lion, and yet more events like this could easily come along. Who knows, like I said, if Vulcan could return one day, for example. I'm quite excited about the prospect of that. But for Chaos, facing down the great enemy of the Imperium is the single greatest obstacle in their path, and who would resist them so fiercely it's questionable if something like galactic dominion for Chaos could ever really be truly achievable. Yet, as we say, they have made steady progress against the Imperium, who are in their most weakened position for perhaps 10,000 years. True, they have new weapons to wield, and the Primarch's campaign has been pretty successful, but the days are very, very dark, even more so for those inside the Dark Imperium. If the forces of Chaos can seize even a significant portion of the galaxy, it feels as if, despite all the obstacles, humanity may start to feel as if they're fighting a losing battle, as more worlds despair, more will crumble, collapse. The war against Chaos is one of steady attrition. Except that the sides are not equal, and for every world the Imperium loses, the stronger Chaos becomes. But this, though, is not, of course, the whole picture. On top of this, you also then have forces like the Necron, the Tyranid, and I'll even throw in here the Eldari, specifically the Inari and Harlequins. So let's just consider those. The Necrons possess incredibly powerful technology, perhaps the most powerful technology in the galaxy in some cases, and when used against forces such as Traitor Marines or Demons, they're generally very resilient forces, very formidable opponents. They also, of course, are entirely immune to Chaos corruption, which makes them very problematic, and then there's the relationship with the K'tan, who are extraordinarily powerful ancient entities and who pose very significant threats to any Chaos forces, even further bolstering the Necron's capabilities in battle. Their one significant weakness with Necron against Chaos is, of course, psychic. But the worst thing for Chaos is the Necron's use of Blackstone and the Null Fields. It's unknown exactly how Blackstone was created, whether it was natural, artificial, or who specifically learned how to use it. Its origins, as we've discussed, seem to be in the more ancient period of the galaxy. It may well have been developed by the old ones even, but it is the Necron who are most actively using it in the period of M41, and through their pylons they seem to have at least once before closed or attempted to contain the Eye of Terror. Although that one always confuses me, as the timeline doesn't seem to quite align there. Anyway. The Blackstone pylons seem to be constructed on worlds all along the Great Rift, the Cicatrix Maledictum, and this is suggestive, as we noted recently in the past video, that at one time the Rift may have existed more naturally, but was sealed for unknown reasons and then forcibly torn open again by the forces of Chaos. But the Necron are perhaps one of the most terrifying enemies for the forces of Chaos, because alongside these null fields, which effectively cancel and delete the power of demons and the blessings they gift upon their followers, the power of the Necron is only ever increasing, slowly, admittedly, and never to likely be what it once was. But the Necron hold unbelievable power in their technology. They have the K'tan, they have an army of warriors that could be one of the biggest military powers in the galaxy once fully awakened. They require no resources to exist, they follow orders without question, they cannot be broken or corrupted or intimidated. They're a faceless, marching horde of sentinels who actively weaken Chaos, no matter if they're scouring a planet held by the embrace of the warp or one occupied by the Imperium. Either way, they weaken the forces of darkness. So in terms of the Necrons as an obstacle and an enemy, it's really quite straightforward. They are a massively disruptive, problematic force for Chaos. And in the worst case scenario, if the Necrons were successful in closing the Great Rift, this could then strengthen the Imperium and limit the logistical ease of access to the Materium by Chaos forces. And to go even further, if the Necron continue to gain strength and reassert their network of Blackstone, they could potentially even close the Eye of Terror, which would be in effect game over for Chaos in its potential chances then of galactic domination. Now, when considering the Eldar, I really only chose the smaller factions, which may seem inconsequential and strange, but they are actually relatively unknown quantities, and despite being far smaller than the Craftworld Eldar, they are the only of their number to have potentially any chance of disrupting Chaos in a significant way, and we'll explain about that. So the Harlequins, for example, are these strange Eldar performers and warriors who serve the so-called Laughing God, Kegorak, who is believed to be one of the surviving Eldar deities and their patron. All of the other Eldar gods, however you wish to interpret their mythology, seem to have either been destroyed or lost, while Kegorak seems to persist in the webway with the Harlequins, and whose overarching goal is to defy the Chaos gods, specifically Slaanesh, and ensure the survival and salvation of the Eldar race, which curiously also is the goal of the Inari, who also seek the annihilation of Slaanesh, and more importantly the re-establishing of Eldar rebirth. But like all of the Eldar gods, Kegorak is immensely powerful. In fact, it's hard to underscore just how incredibly powerful the Eldar gods were. Now, we've talked about them specifically a lot more in Dark Origins Part 2, where I really trawl through the Eldar mythology, and I don't want to repeat too much of that. But essentially, the Eldar gods came from this very, very early time in the galaxy, and it's really hard to understand what kind of beings they are, and there were question marks over whether they were some kind of incredibly extreme weaponry that was used during the war in heaven at that time. The point is, it's a relative unknown and it's a very big question mark, and that could be very, very problematic for Chaos. Then the Inari, who seek to enable the emergence of their own god, known as Inaid, the god of the dead. They believe that the salvation of their race lies in the merging of the souls of the dead with Inaid's power, seeking to escape the clutches of Slaanesh. They also seek to unite the various factions of the Eldar, including the Craftworlds, the Harlequins, the Dark Eldar, under a common cause that they might all reclaim their former glory and protect their race, and indeed the galaxy, from annihilation. Now in themselves, both of these Eldar factions may not represent an end to all chaos, but they certainly are disruptive enough that if either of them were to succeed in the destruction of Slaanesh, and alongside that somehow creating the unification and the re-empowering of the Eldari to bring them back to a level of power they have not held since before humanity emerged into the galaxy, while it might again not mean the end for chaos, it would very likely mean the end of any ambitions Chaos had within the material space of the galaxy, because the Eldar already spend a significant amount of their efforts in exterminating the corruptions and minions of Chaos wherever they are found. The Eldar truly hate Chaos in every form, because although of course they hate Slaanesh the most, they believe still that some of their gods were captured and tortured by others of the Chaos gods, and the Inari are on this campaign of sort of apocalyptic destruction, and they really have no major concerns about what it means for the rest of the galaxy. It could even create some kind of devastating consequences that we have no possible way of knowing what would happen. What if they were able to create a new Eldar god of the dead? What if that fought with Slaanesh and killed Slaanesh? It's one of the most interesting aspects of the 40k lore for me at the moment, because it would fundamentally reshape the entire power structure of the galaxy and potentially propel the Eldari back to the state of power they had during the war in heaven, which it's really difficult to imagine just how fundamentally altering that would mean for the balance of power and the structure of things throughout the galaxy. It would certainly end any hopes Chaos had of actually achieving anything in material space. Now then we have the Tyranids. Now the Tyranids are a curious enemy of Chaos, for while they see little of value in the forms of demonic entities, as demons have no biological mass and therefore have very little interest in Chaos in that sense, the very opposite could be true to be said of Chaos, who have a very significant concern in destroying the Tyranids. For the Tyranids of course seek to consume all biomass throughout the galaxy, and biomass means sentient mortals, aka humans, something that genuinely would likely see Chaos very much diminish, if not completely burn out and be destroyed, at least in some sense. While undoubtedly powerful in their physical forms, they are very terrifying enemies for Chaos to fight against, because not dissimilarly to the Necron, they have immunity to fear and other human emotions. They're entirely incorruptible, and perhaps worst of all, their capability in wielding immense psychic powers, completely off the scale even versus powers able to be wielded by, say, a traitor Primarch or Demon Prince. Tyranids have bioforms that are specifically designed to wield immense psychic power, and can handle this in the Alpha class, which, remembering on the Imperium scale of psychic power known as the Assignment, Alpha is the highest grade. While the majority of humans are thought to be incapable of handling Alpha class psychic power, the few who are detected are usually killed, especially if they remain unaware of how to use their powers. Some rare few Alpha class psychers may be inducted into the Telepathica, but these are often unstable, very dangerous individuals. Tyranids, however, can easily handle this level of psychic power, and it enables them with such psychic force that they may be able to just delete their enemies from existence. While psychers are very ordinarily useful as a means by which the Chaos Gods could force through into reality, Tyranids, although very psychic, maintain a very minimal psychic presence, thus making it difficult if not impossible for the Chaos Gods to manipulate them or use them in this way. So the Tyranids are an extremely difficult enemy for Chaos to deal with, not least because where Chaos forces tend to assault, they usually do so upon singular worlds or in campaigns that rely on destabilizing the enemy living there, or through other previously mentioned methods of fear, corruption, plague, other destabilizing factors. But the Tyranids have none of these. And worse, they usually don't stay in a specific system for very long, which makes launching a massive campaign against them pretty difficult. Not to mention the fact that the worlds that they do approach are usually blanketed with the shadow in the warp, making it even more problematic for Chaos, as their vast numbers scour worlds before they relentlessly move on, and Chaos forces may barely be able to make their presence felt or even appear in that time. Of course, they're not completely incapable of fighting back. Chaos Space Marines and demonic entities possess formidable combat abilities, and the Chaos Gods can influence the battlefield with their own powers. And whilst the Tyranids have many advantages, the disadvantage to them is that in fighting the powers of Chaos, if Chaos can wield many demon forms on the battlefield, it means that the Tyranids will be continually losing biomass as they fight against Chaos. So it's not a completely one-sided battle, but it's not easy either, and in the galactic scale, Chaos have significant disadvantages when fighting the Tyranids, so they, above all others, are likely one of the most problematic enemies for Chaos should they ever wish to attempt complete domination of the galaxy, and it is something they would have to face one way or the other. So while many of the major enemies faced by Chaos are not necessarily insurmountable, it would require some sort of grand unification within Chaos to truly wage a war that would be powerful enough against all of these enemies to be successful in the grand theater of the galaxy. And this is perhaps the biggest flaw or problem within Chaos, that despite it being extremely powerful, perhaps the singularly most powerful force in the galaxy, but by its very nature, is so inherently fractured and always pulling itself in all directions, struggling to wrest power as it fights with itself, let alone anybody else, that it's rarely seen to lead something we would qualify as a truly focused, united front. And even when it has done this previously, it's tended to be in a more defensive force, not so offensive. In the sense that when it was believed that all four Chaos Gods empowered Horus to fight with the Emperor, they did so more out of a sense of their own survival, and as soon as Horus fell, they immediately deserted the traitor Astartes and went back to just fighting the endless struggle between themselves in the Great Game. As Abaddon the Despoiler continues to wage war against the Imperium specifically, it's very difficult to see how he could make enough progress alone to take dominion over the galaxy. Could he control a vast territory similar to Ultramar? Could he perhaps eventually control the Dark Imperium? This is a more plausible scenario. Domination of the galaxy, though? To really achieve this would require something rarely seen. Chaos truly undivided. And seeing that occur really seems a stretch. Because as we noted, it's not something the gods seem particularly inclined toward, unless it's in service to their immediate defense or short-term gains of power. They really want someone else to do much of the work for them rather than a long, complex, very heavily invested struggle that may or may not pay off at the end. For as chaotic as the gods are, they seem to be not especially speculative when it comes to furthering their own power, and that may be because they're so heavily invested in the Great Game. They understand that if they were to commit too much of themselves to the struggle in the Materium, it could disadvantage or otherwise weaken them in the Great Game. It's true, of course, that if any of them were able to singularly win over a vast area of the material galaxy, like Khorne for example, it could massively empower them in the warp. But that's a big gamble to take, and they seem unwilling to commit to the big win. They would rather someone like the Despoiler do all the legwork, get as close to ultimate victory as possible, and then maybe jump on board to just push it across the line. This seems most often how the Gods of Chaos like to operate. So interestingly, things being just as they stand in M41, or maybe a little bit worse for mortals, could in fact be the best scenario for Chaos itself. It can remain problematic enough to the Imperium to fuel its enduring survival, but remain not so destructive that it accidentally burns itself out. It could remain the ever-present force in the galaxy, and perhaps this strange self-regulation of being an ever-present threat, but not so much so that it becomes counterproductive, may well be some strange, unseen design beyond our comprehension, their great scheme all along, or even some self-regulating balance or force, law even, that prevents them from really gaining too much presence in the material realm. I think that conversation is going to be one for the next Dark Origins. So for today, when we're thinking about the forces of Chaos, could they take control of the galaxy in a complete state of domination. It's difficult to see this being truly achievable. Taking strong control of a singular area in the galaxy, though, yes. But with forces such as the Necron and the Tyranid bearing down, uncertainties within those such as the Eldari, and the Imperium gaining unforeseen advantages, galactic dominion is not something I would readily put on the table for the forces of Chaos. But interestingly enough, this might in fact be the best scenario for them. Thanks again for watching. If you did enjoy, please remember to drop a like on this video and subscribe to the channel. I'll be back again for more very soon, along with potentially this new original narrative project I've been working on. All the links are below, including the channel sponsors, Siege, and my Patreon. I'll see you as always in the next one.